Want to gain an edge in international markets with foreign currency exchange? At Associated Bank, we've got you. We can assist you in obtaining or converting foreign currency and managing the exchange risk to your advantage. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
We're on with Danny Salazar, Senior Vice President and Relationship Manager in Commercial Banking at Associated Bank. Danny, welcome back.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
As the year comes to a close here, I want to focus a little bit on the new year. Some of the challenges and opportunities facing financial institutions like Associated Bank. What do you think is one of the biggest challenges that next year might bring?
Yeah, there's a few things on our radar, but I think it's consistent across other banking institutions. A few of the items that come to mind is technology, consumer expectations, and continued regulatory pressures.
Mm-hmm. You talk about the technology, and I think when you say technology nowadays, most people just guess that it's artificial intelligence. Is that a fair assessment, or is it all kinds of technology?
Yeah, I mean, you're spot on. I think it's been a topic of or a theme of conversation for the past, call it 24 months, but it's certainly taking more shape and has continued to evolve in our day-to-day lives. But as it relates to banks and financial institutions, I think AI technology is at the forefront, not only for us, but also our client conversations. But more specifically, how this platform can be used to enhance business strategies, efficiencies, continued investments, but also, just making sure that, we as a bank, as well as our clients, don't lose sight of, what makes our service and value proposition important, which is personalization and human interaction. The other item that I think is important as it relates to technology is, how we deliver our products to our clients, specifically for banking. I think we've noticed over the past couple of years that a lot of our clients have leaned heavily on the mobile experience, specifically now that, phones can have the technology to deliver a rich technology experience. And so as it relates to, what people can do on their phones, it's expanding beyond just checking your account balances and or making a loan payment. Banks are looking to do more, deliver other products and services. And so with that, I think a key consideration is fraud. How do we deliver those apps and make sure that we have the appropriate fraud controls, alerts, security settings, providing educational resources? So I think those are the two key themes as it relates to technology for financial institutions.
Danny, I want to follow up on the AI part of that. I saw a recent study that showed some recent research that showed 84% of American consumers are concerned about AI in banking. And obviously, one of their biggest concerns is privacy and security. You've talked a little bit about the security, but also the reduced human interaction that you've talked about as well. So how do you balance that? How do you balance the desire for, as you talked about, customers wanting more access to mobile banking and digital solutions with that concern about privacy and security?
Yeah, it's a delicate balance. I often look to my personal experiences when I use AI or have day-to-day interactions with mobile banking. And I think those sentiments are similar across our client base where, AI is useful in the sense of it's easy, it's quick, it's predictive. But at the same time, you just want to be mindful of falling into the traps of easily entering your information or not having transparency in terms of where this AI is coming and where that information is going. Where I think a key point in onboarding implementation, but also having a successful user experience is the onboarding, education, and then also maintaining that personal dialogue relationship to support client requests. And so I think those are the key items that, we're going to be thinking of as we head into 2026. It's easy to to use AI and lose sight of security protocols. But as we onboard clients and we teach and educate them about the security risk, I think it comes top of mind and people tend to know what to look for. And so that's been helpful in many ways.
The AI, obviously AI is going to change the way we do a lot of things moving forward. But on a negative side, and you're talking about some of the positive things that AI has helped and will help with, on the negative side of that, the fraudsters are using AI as well. How are you keeping up with all of the high-tech ways that these fraudsters are taking people's money?
Yeah, I mean, if I've learned anything in 25, it's learning of all the ways that people have taken advantage of technology to enhance their fraud attempts. You know, all the way from social engineering to voice cloning to phishing emails. It has certainly elevated in the past 12 months. And, you know, I think the one thing we focus on as an institution, but also with our clients, is consistently keeping them up to speed of new strategies and new efforts, making sure that we pass along those instances and allow them to be on high alert. And so they can also be mindful of that, but then they can then in turn teach their employees to just be on the lookout for it. So, you know, I think the key there is, you know, educating and relaying information as we learn of new strategies.
I want to talk a little bit about macroeconomic scale, the macroeconomic things that are happening right now, the interest rate environment, some of the things that are happening with the economy, with jobs and other. How are banks footed right now to deal with whatever may come in 2026?
Yeah, well, as we sit here today at the end of 25 and looking forward to 26, it does appear to be a defining year for you for banks in general. You know, we talked about technology and how quickly that is evolving and shaping the landscape. You know, I think other factors that could test banks include persistent inflation, interest rate strategies or interest rate environment. And then, you know, on the heels of both of those, you have a threat of new competitors. You have fintechs, digital-only financial firms that are offering bank services through mobile apps or websites and eliminating physical branches altogether. So I think a combination of all of those factors is certainly going to be a defining year for the banks.
Talk to us a little bit about, you mentioned some of the disruption. I'm thinking specifically of cryptocurrency. I know many people still are not sure what all of this is, but we've seen the entrance of something called stable coins. Other people are moving money to cryptocurrency, crypto. What is that going to mean for banks and for payment firms moving forward?
Yeah, well I think it's going to continue to evolve. With the entrance of fintechs and other platforms, there is a battle for consumers in that space. And for the fintechs and some of the other firms that have gotten an early start, you know, it appears that they're relying on making their platform easy to use, transparent, and really making it convenient for tech-savvy users that, you know, use that on a day-to-day basis. For traditional banks that have historically lean on delivering that product through individual personalization and high touch, it is going to mean a little bit of a challenge. But I think if the banks can balance technology and human interaction, I think it's an opportunity for traditional banks to either regain or gain some of that market share.
When you look ahead to the new year, a couple of things that we've been talking about this year, tariffs, interest rates, jobs, you name it. There's a whole list of things that we've been talking about through the year. What is it that is the most concerning to you? What do you think might be the biggest issue for us as we move into 2026?
You know, I think the biggest one is consumer sentiment. It'll be interesting to see how the holiday season shapes up and, you know, what we hear from on the other side of you know, holiday sales, how businesses perform through this period. Because I think if holiday sales and the consumer sentiment is strong, then I think that will carry through 2026. If people start to hear or they hear of the news that holiday sales are down, I think it could dampen consumer sentiment going into the year, and then it leads to, you know, what the Fed will do with interest rates, and then you couple that with where the labor market is. I think it could be a little bit of a domino effect, but certainly it revolves around the consumer sentiment mm-hmm. and consumer spending.
There's some signals that the holiday spending by folks has been higher than last year, but that could be because prices are a little bit higher, so that could be pushing that total cost up. But also, a lot of people are putting stuff on credit cards, and they already have a lot of credit card debt. That feels like it might be a dangerous scenario unfolding.
Yeah. You know, consumer or credit card debt has continued to increase. Inflation continues to slightly uptick. You know, I think the biggest variable here is that we've seen is the impact of the tariffs that we faced at, I think, is the beginning of the second quarter. You know, that put a big pause on consumer and commercial spending. And so, you know, it's hard to read between the lines of, like, if the uptick in holiday spending is because of that, or is it because consumer sentiment is strong? So it really is hard to tell the key takeaways there because of the big disruption that the tariffs had at the early half of the year and then how consumers feel coming out of the holiday season. So candidly, it's hard to pinpoint what to expect in 26.
Yeah, but you're probably seeing some good things, though, on the flip side of this coin, right? We've seen really the Chicago economy be strong. I know the city's dealing with budget issues. Just like the state is, lots of municipalities and governments are dealing with budget issues. How big of an issue is that going to be for the economy moving forward?
I think similar to consumers. I mean, you know, whether it's a consumer, a business, or a government entity, there's only so many dollars that they could put to use. And as it relates to Chicago, you know, they're dealing with a budget deficit. And going into 26, it's about how do they manage that deficit and how do they reshape their finances so that either, you know, it improves or doesn't worsen. You know, I think there's a lot of things to consider as it relates to how they do that. You know, there's thoughts around pension reform, enhancing the tax revenue base, right-sizing programs to create savings. There's a variety of ways. You know, it's not an easy spot or an easy problem to fix. But yeah, I think that's going to be top of mind for the government mm-hmm. and the mayor in 26.
Yeah, I think all of the sides, even though they don't agree on how to approach it, agree that consumers, at the consumer level, people are really sort of cashed out, tapped out with taxes and fees and all kinds of other things, that it's the consumer that's eventually suffering from some of it.
Yeah. You know, as residents, it's hard to deal with continuing to see tax increases on real estate, on consumer goods, gas. You know, it takes a toll, and that's, I think that's what's made it challenging for Chicago as it relates to cost of living. You know, inflation has continued to outpace the cost of living here, economic growth, and it's made it challenging for a variety of businesses and individuals. And so one would hope that you know, Chicago changes it so that it becomes an attractive destination for businesses, for individuals, for nonprofits, et cetera.
Danny, great conversation. As always, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Yeah, no, thank you, Steve. You can always send me an email, daniel.salazar@associatedbank.com. or you can reach out to me on LinkedIn.
All right, Danny, great having you here this year. I look forward to a new year of more thought leader conversations.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it as always.